Following recording is copyright 2012 Catholic Diocese of Little Rock. All rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
On January 20th, 1961, exactly 50 years ago, John F. Kennedy was inaugurated as the first and so far only Catholic president of our country. At the time, many people worried that he and other Catholic politicians would not be able to keep their religious faith from influencing the decisions that they would make once in office. Subsequent history shows, unfortunately, that they needn't have worried. Even so, Kennedy asserted one Catholic truth in his inaugural address when he said that the principle for which our founding fathers fought was the idea that our rights come not from the generosity of the state, but rather from the hand of God. And of these rights, religious liberty is the first mentioned in the Bill of Rights, a priority that was not accidental. Why do I bring this up on this weekend when we mark the 39th anniversary of Roe versus Wade? Because our religious liberty to follow our conscience, to live according to that higher law, is under attack. And some in our government and some in our society seek to impose their will on us in ways that intentionally violate or undermine our belief in the sacredness of human life from the first moment of conception to natural death and every stage in between. For instance, last year, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services issued rules requiring all health care plans to cover sterilization and contraception, including abortifacients. The only Catholics who would qualify for the so-called religious exemption allowed under these rules would be only those Catholic employers who hire mainly Catholics, serve mainly Catholics, and exist mainly to inculcate religious values. All these conditions have to be met in order to qualify for the exemption. So, for instance, Catholic hospitals would not qualify, not to mention ordinary businesses owned by Catholics. Now, just 2 days ago, the Department of Health and Human Services announced that they will not broaden this narrow exemption and that instead there will be a one-year delay in enforcement against non-compliant employers. What Archbishop Dolan of New York describes as a year to figure out how to violate our consciences. Moreover, there is no conscience protection whatever for insurers or individuals with religious or moral objections to being forced to pay the cost of these abortions and sterilizations. This is a direct attack on religion and our First Amendment rights. Underlying this change is an attempt by some to redefine freedom of religion as merely freedom of worship, divorced from what we do out in the public square. But for us Catholics, religion is a way of life that pertains to our whole person and everything we do. And it empowers us and indeed obligates us to bring into the public square truths and values that flow from our faith and from reason, often expressed in works of education, health care, social services, charity, and advocacy. And for instance, the March for Life that we'll be having tomorrow. At last November's meeting of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, we recognized that governmental and societal attacks on our freedom of religion and freedom of conscience had become so strident, especially in the areas of abortion, sterilization, embryonic stem cell research, contraception, and same-sex marriage, that we voted overwhelmingly to undertake a new initiative to defend and promote religious liberty in our country. But we bishops and priests cannot do this alone. We need you, the laity of the church, to put your gifts and your expertise on the line in order to invite us as a nation to open our hearts to welcome that true freedom comes, to welcome that true freedom that comes not come only from living according to that higher law that God has imprinted not only in the laws of nature, but also in the depths of every human heart. This call to repentance, challenging us to open our eyes to see and reject the evil that blinds us and destroys us, is central to the message of the Bible in both the New and the Old Testaments. John the Baptist not only called people to personal repentance, he also condemned the evils of society in general and the government, the king in particular, for which he was eventually executed. In today's gospel, Jesus begins his public ministry, and not only does he continue John's work of calling people and society to repentance, he also calls his first four disciples and invites them to be fishers of men, sharing his mission of condemning evil and calling people to repentance because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That kingdom of God is still at hand, and we sure have our work cut out for us in the task of calling the people of our day, indeed our entire nation, to repentance. And we have not only the God-given right, but more importantly, the God-given obligation to do so.